Morning, everybody. Good to see you. Happy Easter. It's going to be a great day. We're going to talk about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ today in our sermon, and we're going to hopefully get some people some spiritual freedom today. That's what we've been talking about for a few weeks. I want to do a little recap. Really, what we're talking about is, okay, how does the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, like, how does that apply to our lives? So we've been looking at some stones for 3 weeks. There's a little recap if you haven't been here. If you haven't been here, you're going to be like caught up in about 2 minutes. It's going to be great, right? Here we go. This stone and chain represents the stone of anxiety. And there's a lot of people chained to the stone of anxiety, right? So in fact, medical research in America says about 40 million people have been medically diagnosed as having a problem with anxiety. So the theme and the idea is this: you have something that you love, and then it gets threatened. Could be your reputation, could be your family, and you love it more than Jesus. And all of a sudden what happens is you're like, all right, well now I got this stone with me and I'm dragging this thing around with me. So you look normal. You all look pretty normal today, as a matter of fact. You actually look pretty good. You kind of got dressed up, didn't you? But what nobody knows is that as you walked in here today, you are dragging in your stone of anxiety. Man, it's ruling you. And you know it because you're so stressed. You're having trouble sleeping at night. You might be grinding your teeth. Now, the second stone is similar to it. It's the stone of anger. Same root at the root of anger. You love something and it's getting threatened, but you don't respond. Some people respond in worry and anxiety, but some people just get mad. You get mad at other drivers, other shoppers, coaches, athletes, politicians. I mean, the list could go on and on and on about the things you're mad at. Again, you look pretty normal when you walked in here, but oh man, below the surface, it's like a simmering pot. How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ relate to being chained to anxiety and being chained to anger? Our next stone relates to destructive desires. We want something, and oh, we want it so badly that we'll literally destroy our own lives in pursuit of it, or we'll destroy the lives of others as we're pursuing it. Gluttony, pornography, alcohol and drug addiction, which has about 22 million people in America addicted. And boy, they are dragging that chain with them everywhere they go. Now, this is what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. If you want to hear more about any of these specific topics, you can go on our website, listen to the sermon. We're moving on today. We're moving to this big boy over here. And yes, it's real. People have been like, is that a real stone? Yes, it's real. We're not messing around. We wanted this to depict the last and the most devastating stone of them all, which is death. Because these, you can drag these around with you through life. This one limits your joy and your freedom in more profound ways. Is humanity doomed to live chained to these things, or is freedom possible? Well, the Bible tells us humanity is not doomed, but freedom is absolutely possible. And freedom hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to focus on today. How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ break this chain, the chain of death? Would you bow your heads and let's pray together. Lord, we're here to hear some truth, and it all hinges on you because you have risen so that we can know you and have eternal life, experience a love relationship with you. And so we ask you now to speak to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask and answer two questions for you today. The first question is this: what does the Bible say about death? Let's just start there. What does the Bible say about this? To get our question, we're going to have to go all the way back to the very beginning of creation itself. After God created everything, he summarized all of what he had done in a verse. It's Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day. Everything was very good. Meaning this, God's creation, it didn't have any death. There was no anxiety. There was no anger. It was a perfect creation. God gave Adam and Eve instructions on how to live and live in a way that would make them thrive as they lived in his perfect creation. One of those instructions is in Genesis 2:17. He told them, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." If they disobeyed God, death would be set loose in God's perfect creation. And tragically, we know what followed. Adam and Eve, they gave into the temptation. They ate of that tree. And as a result, death became a normal part of human existence. And to illustrate it, for a while here, I'm going to be chained to death. Because that's what happens to everybody from that point forward. Everybody is chained to death. Romans 5, verse 12 tells us, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin," so there's Adam, "and so death spread to all men, because then all sinned." See, since Adam and Eve, at birth, every single person has come out. I mean, we look at those little babies and we say, "Oh, that's a cute little baby. I see my nose on that baby. I see my uncle's eyes on that baby." But we're also chained to death. Physical death comes slowly, but eventually it gets us all. Spiritual death happens immediately, and we experience it with a separation from God. Literally everything we know about pain and suffering, it springs from the seed of death. Violence in the world, fights with your spouse or your family members, cancer, abuse, addiction, everything that we hate in this world springs from being chained to death. Ecclesiastes 7:2 tells us death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Now, this does not mean that you are as bad as you could be, but it does mean you're as bad off as you could be. And this is what the Bible says about death. And we hate it. Nobody wants to be chained to death. We try to get ourselves free in various ways, right? You can pull on this chain and, I mean, you can really pull it. Look at that, I rocked it a little bit. But that's about it right there. You might have other coping mechanisms. You say, "You know, I think I'll cut that a little bit, get some scissors." That's a joke, that ain't gonna work. We need something bigger. What if we get like a sledgehammer? I'm tired of being chained to my death. So I think I'm going to break this thing right now. Look at that. Man, you could sledge this thing all day long. And that's not going to work either. We try to escape it. That's a big part of addiction, by the way. You're like, "You know what? I don't want to even deal with it. Maybe if I could just escape reality for a little while and just get high, just get drunk. Maybe, you know what happens the next day when you get sober? If you've struggled with addiction, you know what happens the next day when you get sober. That stupid chain's still on me." Boy, the same thing with like anxiety. "Oh man, if I could just numb out, not feel the pain anymore." wears off. You're like, you know, I thought if I watched 10 hours of Netflix in one day, maybe. Then your show's over, and now you're mad. You're like, what am I going to do now? I don't want to have to deal with my reality anymore. Find another show. Burn another 50 hours. We'll go from one escape to one escape to one escape to one escape. We literally lack the power to set ourselves free. Now, in response to all of what I'm saying here, some people would say, okay, I get it. Like, I'm spiritually dead, so is everybody else, but what is the benefit of going over it and over it and over it? Like, this is Easter. This is a happy holiday. Where are the chocolate bunnies? Why is that guy up there talking about death? Well, look, here's the benefit of it. The benefit of it is this. The Bible tells us what it tells about death to strip us of any shred of false belief that we could actually get free of this death on our own. That's the benefit of telling us about death. See, there's a common notion or illustration that people have about life and humanity, and it goes like this. People are in the ocean, and they're struggling. They're bobbing up and down. Man, they're really struggling with life and circumstances. They're calling out for help all over. Help! Help! And, like, eventually, a ship comes along. And you're like, praise God, a ship. They throw you a life preserver. You grab it, and they drag you into the safety of the ship. And you're like, I've been saved. But you know what? That's not what the Bible says. The analogy the Bible describes is this. Each person is dead. Spiritually dead. You are not bobbing on the ocean, the water. You're not like calling out for help. You're helpless because we're chained to death. But what if? What if someone came along, lifted you from the bottom of the ocean, breathed life into your lungs? Now, that should not create depression. That should create the greatest joy and greatest thankfulness of all times. See, that is what Jesus Christ accomplished when he defeated death on the cross and then rose again. And that's what we celebrate today, and that is what Jesus offers you. So how does that happen? You're like, I don't know how that happens, but I'd like to know, how does that happen? Well, here's my second question I'm going to answer. How do you break the chain of death? How do you break it? Well, Jesus told us, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he passes from death to life. See, Jesus teaches us that anyone who will believe in him, Jesus comes and he breaks this chain. I mean, that's quite a claim. Considering that all of humanity is chained to it, and Jesus comes along, he says, oh, I got a solution to that. I can break your chain. Like, how does he make such a bold claim? On what authority can he say this? Well, his authority was that he showed us. First off, he rose from the dead. And second of all, he lives eternally. We read earlier from Luke chapter 24 to start our service. When the women got to the tomb that morning, he was not there. He was risen just like he said he would. And then later, it just describes how Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time, most of whom are still alive. That phrase is important, most of whom are still alive, because people in Corinth, they're the ones getting this letter, right? Ancient city of Corinth, and they're thinking, hey, I don't know. I mean, you're saying 500 people or so saw him, but I don't know. I doubt it. Well, they're saying, you know what? They're still alive. Go ask them. A bunch of us saw him die on the cross. A bunch of us saw him carried away to the tomb. hundreds saw him again walking around alive. The best explanation is the one he gave of himself, is that he was going to defeat death and rise again on the third day. Acts 1:9 tells us that he never died, because it says he was lifted up and in a cloud took him out of sight. See, Jesus did not leave the earth like the rest of us leave it, in a coffin. He ascended into heaven fully alive. Jesus showed us that he had the authority to back up his claim, because he defeated death and he lives eternally. And it's because of that, 1 Corinthians 15 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Whose victory? It's Jesus' victory. It's not ours. So it says, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? See, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so for anybody who will admit, hey, I can't break my own chain, I can't do it. And anybody who would then believe that Jesus has the power to set them free from death, Jesus will come and cut your chain. So we got Nick instead. But Nick will do, because I can't cut my own chain. You can't cut your own chain. But we can say, Jesus, look, I'm surrendering this to you. Don't cut off my finger. Wider. There you go. No. Come on now, Jesus. Get in there. Cut it. No. There. Get it. Squeeze it. Come on. I can't do it in my... There we go. There we go. So look, I'm surrendering it to him. I'm not like, I don't know what's happening over there. I hope you can figure it out, right? I'm like, no, please help me. I'm chained. I can't break myself free. Jesus has that power. Jesus accesses his resurrection power that was granted to him when he rose from the dead. And what is impossible for you is very easy for him. Easy for him, but impossible for us. And then after you're free, after you get free of death, man, this is so good. We've been thinking about this for 3 weeks. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that Jesus offers you that same resurrection power for all of the other things that chain you in your life. Are you chained with anxiety? Easy for Jesus to break that chain. Are you chained with anger and desires that are like destroying your life? Look, they destroy us, and we carry these things for decades because we can't break these chains. What's impossible for us is easy for Jesus. And we just surrender that to him. We say, you know what, Jesus, I can't do this in my own power, but I believe you can, and I ask you to set me free. I want to show you what this looks like in the life of a man from our church. We shot this video a couple of weeks ago, and you're going to hear how he was chained, and then you're going to hear about the freedom that he experienced by believing in Jesus Christ to set him free. So if you would, please direct your attention to the screens.
My name is Josh. I have struggled with drugs, identity, darkness, suicidal thoughts and tendencies. Basically, raised in a Christian home, godly parents, accepted Jesus in my heart when I was 8. But as time went on, I met a guy down the street and I took my first hit of acid when I was in 8th grade. Then started really smoking a lot of weed. That led to a lot of partying in high school. I could sense God saying this whole time, God, Josh, stop, just turn around. I'd wake up completely stoned or drunk, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and just get up and do it again. And so as I went through high school, started getting involved in Grateful Dead shows and following them around a little bit with buddies and partying, and that became a source of strength for me, a source of identity. That's when my friends left for college. That's when my drumming and myself I was looking at basically that for knowing, okay, this is all I have, so I guess I'm gonna go to school and start drumming. But I knew in my heart that I wanted to quit the drugs. So I started looking at ways to quit. I would pray to the Lord for strength to quit. I would quit drugs. I successfully stopped drugs. I realized I wasn't feeling peace like I wanted. I wasn't getting fulfillment like I wanted. In college, studied classical percussion. That's what I do. I'm a drummer. I'm gonna do this. This is kind of my new identity. I'm gonna put all my eggs in this basket and move that way. But my identity in the Grateful Dead, and I mean just in all the stuff from the past in my drumming, was starting to just crumble. And I began to put these demands to God, to say, God, okay, I've quit these, I've quit that, I've quit this stuff. Why can I not be at peace? Really super nervous. I was going in this tailspin, and pretty soon I just hated being who I was in myself. This was over about a 2-year period. I went into this depression, and basically it turned into self-hatred. I wanted out of me, because I hated myself. I hated the way I thought. I hated the way I was angry. I hated when I did stuff that God wasn't providing. And in the midst of this, I could hear God's voice saying, Josh, just turn around. I'd be too stinking angry. I'd be like, no, I've done this, this, and this, and you have not given me what I want. So why should I turn to you and give you anything else? And I just got so fed up, and I was talking to my dad about it one night. I said, Pops, I'm tired of this, man. I'm tired of me. And he just said, son, don't do anything stupid. I love you. God loves you. People need you. And I kind of just rolled right past my head. Well, I was hell-bent one night. I knew where the gun was. And I was just going to take my own life. And I heard God say, Josh, just go to bed. And he softened my heart. And I went to bed. I listened. And I woke up the next day. I saw my hands were still there. I didn't kill myself. And at that point, God softened my heart to realize the sin that I had been running from him, ignoring him. And he also opened my eyes to the mercy that he had on me. And I said, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running from you. I don't care what I have, what I don't have. I'm yours. Take me and do what you want with me. I'm yours. And I surrender my whole life to you, Jesus. At that point, I began not to care what I didn't have. And that's what he changed in me, was I was more trying to figure out what I needed. Instead, I needed to delight in him and give him thanks for everything he's done and give my life constantly to him. So from that point, it was a daily surrender. It was daily thankfulness for the mercy that he had had on me. He showed me that Jesus died in my place so I don't have to kill myself, so I don't have to take my own life. Jesus died for that. So now I can live new life in Christ because Jesus died on that cross and became the victor, so that we could have victory over our sin. And it's only by that power of Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, that he gives us the living hope. It's a living hope. It doesn't die. It's not die. It is living. So each day that I have now, I look at my family. I look at my kids. I look at the things that he's blessed me with. I say, Lord, each day to you. So, what Satan meant for evil, God used for good. This is a bullet here from a 357 that a guy gave me just about 10 years ago after I told him my story. He emptied his revolver and he said, this was gonna be me. This was gonna be in my head tonight. God, took those bullets and he snatched them. And he takes those bullets and he gives you life. So look to him for his light and his life, because he gives it to you. And he saves you and he brings you his peace. What he's done through Jesus. Hallelujah. My name is Josh Van Eys, and Jesus has set me free.
You know, it's a powerful story. And every single one of us in here can relate to that in some way, right? Different circumstances, but we know what it's like to be chained. And the freedom that Josh is describing there is available to you. The freedom Jesus offers you is available to you because he defeated death. You know, we preach and teach about this about every Sunday here. And if you want to hear more about that, learn more about it, just keep coming. But maybe you're ready today to get some freedom. You think, you know what? I heard what the preacher said up there. I heard what Josh said, and I've been thinking about it, but oh man, I am ready to make a decision. I am fed up being chained to death. I'm fed up being chained to these things. So here's how you do it. You do this thing. It's the same thing for all the chains. You just tell Jesus, look, I cannot break my chain. It's ruining me. It's robbing me of joy. It's my fault. And I'm sorry that I've messed my life up like this. I surrender this to you. So Jesus, bring me your resurrection power in this area of my life. Are you ready? Do you want to make that decision that says, I want to get some of that freedom? Now, what I'm asking you to do is a very normal thing, just so you're aware. I was on a trail run on Friday out in Deer Creek Canyon, having a great time, praying for you, praying for this service. And the Lord said, hey, Sean, you want to get some freedom from that worry that you're carrying around with you right now? I said, oh, yes, I do. And I did right there running down those trails exactly what I'm talking about right now. See, you get set free from death once, but boy, we pick these things up all the time. And you might have been even free of these a month ago, and then you're like, you know what? Actually, I picked that anxiety back up. You don't have to carry that. Jesus offers you freedom. So if you've decided, you know what, I'm ready to get some freedom right now, I'd like you to just bow your heads. Now I'm going to guide you in a prayer, and you just make this prayer your own and just talk to the Lord about it. You say, Jesus, here's my chain. And you tell him what that chain is. Admit to God, it's ruling me because I'm chained to it and I can't break it. And it's my fault. I have tried to live my way for too long, and I'm sorry. I surrender to you, Jesus. Take my life. Lead me. Take what I'm anxious about and what I'm worried about and what I'm angry about. Take my desires that are destroying me. You take them all. Bring your resurrection power to me right now. We pray this in the powerful and authoritative name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. You know, Jesus tells us in the scriptures when we pray a prayer like that, that we are set free. We've been talking about this topic and idea now for 4 weeks in total. And what I want to ask you to do before we sing this closing song is I want you to acknowledge to yourself and to everybody else in here that you've gotten some freedom by raising your hand. So you could have gotten some freedom a few weeks ago about some anxiety or some anger or some desires. Maybe even today you said, you know, I'm tired of dealing with all that. I'm going to surrender to it right now. I know that there's a few hundred of us in here. that have experienced this kind of freedom. And you think you're the only one. See, that's the lie that the devil wants to tell you right now. He's like, oh, you're the only one. You're the only one that's so messed up you had to pray that prayer. Are you serious? You are such a loser. That's what Satan says to you right now. What a lie that is. Why don't you just raise your hand right now if you have prayed any time in the last month or so or even today and gotten some freedom. Now look, can you look around and see how many people are raising their hands? Can we just acknowledge for a second how amazing and good and powerful Jesus Christ is? How good is that, huh? We don't have to live defeated and chained because Jesus is our chain breaker. Now, if you would, let's stand up together. We're going to sing a well-known song together. You know it. It's Amazing Grace. And oh, are the words so powerful that relate to what we're talking about today. So let's sing this out together.